the executive director of Kuikahi Mediation Center. Some of you may know who we are. We're a nonprofit community mediation center, and we serve all of East Hawaii. Our mission is to empower people to come together, to talk and listen, to explore options, and to find their own best solutions. And to achieve this mission, we offer mediation, facilitation like this one, and training to strengthen the ability of diverse individuals and groups to resolve interpersonal conflicts and community issues. And if you want to know more about us, I've got some brochures and cards over in the back by the written comment area. As tonight's facilitator, my job is to act as a neutral third party who makes sure that this meeting runs smoothly and the commenters get to be heard. So to get started, I want to review the meeting protocol for tonight. As I mentioned earlier, everyone should have signed up in person or on Zoom who wants to make an oral comment. We've got the list here of 20 people. If you're inspired in the middle of the meeting, go over there and sign up. There's another sheet of paper that, I'm learning everyone's name tonight. Is it Mike?
Ben.
Totally wrong. Ben is holding up. And then if you're on Zoom, you can type into the chat about signing up. And so I wanted to be a little flexible in tonight's meeting to see how many people signed up before saying how long everyone would get. So because we have 20 people tonight, I'd like to give each speaker up to 5 minutes to share because we have time for that. And then if after everyone who signed up has had the opportunity to speak and there's time left, we can have more comments, or if someone didn't get to finish what they were saying, they can come back up, just depending on how the meeting flows. We do have a hard end time in this space because they lock the gates here at 9 o'clock, and we have to have enough time to clean up this room how we found it when we got here this afternoon. So if we do run out of meeting time and you didn't sign up or have a chance to speak, there's the written comment forms over there, and then and I'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So the most important things I want to just ask of everyone is be respectful, one voice at a time, and listen to the oral commenters without interruption. Please give your fellow community members an opportunity to share their prepared remarks. I know some people worked really hard on them and they spent a lot of time writing them. It's hard to get up and speak in front of a crowd. So I'm sure some of you know fear of public speaking affects a lot of people. So please give each speaker the respect they deserve during their allocated time. Also, part of the EIS process requires there is an oral recording made of tonight's meeting, and that is what Taylor is doing in the back. That's why we have these little special things on, as well as using the mic so you can hear and the people on Zoom can hear. If people talk over each other, the EIS drafters won't be able to hear the speaker's comments, and we want to hear your comments. So I want to be clear on the why behind tonight's meeting. This is a legally required meeting to allow for oral comments on the Puna Geothermal Ventures pending environmental impact statement. Some people know it as PGV, that's an acronym, and EIS, environmental impact statement. You're going to hear acronyms tonight. I like to say what they mean. And this is the public scoping process. So tonight is for oral and written comments to inform the draft EIS that is yet to be written. I'll be asking some others to share a little bit more about the EIS process in a minute. Because we want to hear from a variety of voices tonight, we're going to be taking oral comments first from those who are here in person, and then we will be taking oral comments from those on Zoom. So if you're on Zoom, please be patient. For those who would like to make written comments, you can do both, by the way, oral and written. There are comment forms and a drop box in the back, and Ben is holding up the form. And can you hold up the box too so people can see where it is back there? And you can also make written comments through Monday, August 22nd. And there are handouts and posters around the room letting you know how to submit those written comments. I also, in my research for this meeting, found that there is quite a bit of information on the PGB website and also in the State of Hawaii Office of Planning and Sustainable Development Environmental Review Program website. Let me say that again because that's a handful. State of Hawaii Office of Planning and Sustainable Development Environmental Review Program website. After the EIS is written, there will be another legally required public meeting to ask for comments on that draft EIS document. A few self-care items. It is very hot in here tonight, which is why I feel a little bit all night. So there is a cooler in the back with ice water. Please hydrate yourselves. If you need to go outside and get some cool air, please do that. And there are restrooms down the two hallways. This side is the women's, and that side is the men's. And I believe there are just one or two bathrooms across the hallway outside. And then during the meeting, because it's a long time to sit for two whole hours, I'm probably going to take a break or two, just depending on how things, I might need to take a bathroom break. So tonight, we're going to hear, before we hear from you folks, because that's what this meeting is about, hearing from you folks who want to speak, we're going to have some brief introductory remarks from two people. Michelle Lefebvre, who's the project manager and environmental scientist with StanTech, which is the consultant preparing the environmental impact statement. Then we are going to be hearing from Mike Kalekini, the senior director for Hawaii Affairs with ORMAT, which is the company operating Puna Geothermal Venture. We will not be taking any questions or comments during their short remarks. Out of respect for those community members who prepared oral comments, which will be coming right after them, we will have to take a very short 1 or 2 minute break for the filming, and the recording, which is required to move from the back to the front when people testify. So as soon as they're done, we're just going to take a short tech break for like 1 minute, and then we'll start with the first person on the list. Please forgive me if I can't read your writing and I don't say your name properly. Okay, Michelle, take it away.
Sure. Right. Oh, that's nice. Thank you for coming tonight. We appreciate your input in the EIS process. As Julie said, my name is Michelle Lefebvre. I live in Hilo and I work for StanTech Consulting. And as Julie said, I'm the project manager for the EIS. So it's my job to see that the environmental analysis is done and done right. I have a PhD and 18 years experience as an environmental consultant preparing environmental assessments and environmental impact statements here on Hawaii Island and elsewhere for many types of projects. As an environmental consultant, my job is to prepare these documents in accordance with state and federal rules and regulations. I am not for or against the projects I work on. My role as an environmental scientist is to follow the government's established environmental review process, which includes engaging with you and identifying environmental, social, cultural, and economic impacts of the proposed project prior to implementation, and then presenting that analysis to the public as well as the approving agency, in this case, the County of Hawaii Planning Department. As Julie said, this is the scoping period. And if you're new to the environmental review process, during scoping, we ask for your concerns about how the changes to the plant will impact the environment. We'll consider the oral comments we receive today, as well as the written ones, as we prepare the draft environmental impact statement. As part of the analysis process, we'll also take a thorough look at how the proposed changes to the plant could result in direct, indirect, and cumulative effects to the environment. As Julie mentioned, you'll have another opportunity to comment after the draft environmental impact statement is published, during which time there'll be a 45-day comment period and a public meeting. Again, thank you for coming tonight. I look forward to hearing your comments.
You need to get that.
Oh, you need to attach that for the recording.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, so thank you, Julie. Thank you, Michelle. I'm Mike Kalikini. As mentioned, I'm with Puna Geothermal Venture, who is a subsidiary of RMAT Company. A little background. So I grew up actually on Oahu, on the North Shore side, moved to Big Island. My wife is from Honolulu, so we moved where the boss is from. And been an employee at Puna Geothermal since 1991. So quite a few years, been through a lot of action, activities, events. And you know, this, for us, for PGV, this is all about getting comments, getting concerns. We're doing this environmental impact statement because we are proposing to decommission 12 generating units that have been there for about 30 years, to replace them with three more modern, efficient equipment, utilizing the same geothermal resource for the 38 megawatts today. The new equipment is designed to generate 46 megawatts. So this scoping meeting is all about that proposal. And we are really pleased to have a great turnout, and we look forward to hearing comments from everyone. So again, thank you all for showing up.
Thank you, Mike and Michelle. So now we are going to have the oral comment period beginning. Are you gonna be moving after I finish talking or while I'm talking? Let me finish talking. Okay, so as a reminder, this format is gonna allow each speaker uninterrupted time to make comments. We're gonna ask that the speakers keep it to the 5-minute time limit. I have a little timer here that I'm gonna keep time on. And then I also have some flashcards that say 1 minute, 30 seconds, pow, so you know when you're done. I know as a public speaker, it's hard always to keep track of how long you're talking for. If you see me standing up, that means your time is really up. If you see me walking over to you, that means your time is really, really up. And we really want to get to everyone tonight. So if you don't have 5 minutes prepared, only two or three, that's fine. Just take the time you have and we'll move on to the next person. If you are inspired to speak during the meeting, please go sign up. And if somebody has already said what you wanted to say and you signed up and you realize you don't want to speak, when I call you out, you can just pass. So there's a lot of options for you tonight. And then just remember, respectful, one voice at a time, and give the speaker your undivided attention.
Here we go. Okay, first question, show me the money. The county is expected to foot the bill for the EIS process. And where is the expertise within the county, or who are they going to get to do this? There's no clear line here at all on that matter. The other matter is, of course, at the end of this process, there better be a cleanup process. These things will only run for a certain period of time, and then they're going to have to be rebuilt, removed, all of those other things. The paperwork to that better be in the slot, right? It's contiguous. So there's a lot of people here with a lot of questions beyond what I have to think about. But those are the two major concerns that I have right now. The county is not able to fund what it already needs to be doing. Roads, sewer infrastructure, but the list can go on and on and on, as we're all aware of, and there is no money to do that, and we're going to spend money to do this. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to work my brand new timer that I just bought because my other one broke. Okay, I figured it out. Okay, next person? Polycapu Deadman.
Yes.
Would you prefer to stand or sit, sir?
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, we got it.
I've been fighting or been involved with this from the 80s, and people probably who live here know how far we've been, how long we've been looking and asking for some study done on what happens to a race of people when you alter the theology of the beliefs, when you are a foreigner and you impose your beliefs over other beliefs. So we've been asking, where is that part in the study? And I think the county already invested over $270,000 to look into the impacts with a Dr. Michael Ellenstein. That was approved by the county planning commission to look at. His study was to do the impacts of what happens to a race of people. Not just the community that it's around, but the native perspective on what happens to Hawaiians when you alter their own spiritual belief. I mean, nobody really cared because nobody really came with that interest to these islands. It's full-on Christians, and they impose like how it's been going on and using a lot of Hawaiians that turn Christians. So we're talking about our traditional beliefs. If we're that endangered, then there should be more understanding and respect like anything else. But so far we've been having Jill. We complained about it when it started and got involved in a contested case from the volcano area. And then Pu'u'o erupted. That took out the whole plan of geothermal. So they moved down rift for the land exchange and kept pushing Jill. And they came up with nothing with a couple of years of drilling. So it's just lesson one, lesson two, and then three just a few years back with the eruption to Leilani. I don't know how many times you got to become a messenger, but it sure seems that that's the way it was. And it's not going to stop. You're on an island that has traditional beliefs. They may have gave it up on Oahu, but it's strong and well here. Mike, I don't know how he gets his title of expert, and what's an expert. In this EIS, there's a cultural section, and that cultural section of the EIS doesn't deal with any other race but a Hawaiian race. And the word cultural assessment, the word culture should be out, and tradition should take its place. Because culture is something you can alter any place, but traditions you can't. When we come here and talk about Pele, those are traditional beliefs. I know Jesus came a long way, but Pele don't bless aircraft carriers. So I'm really telling you that we believe in these and have a right to. The federal laws that protects my right to believe, AFRA, I believe it's called. And there's also state constitution that they should be upholding by traditional practice, not cultural practice, traditional practice. So there's language. And because they got away with it before on the EIS, I'm saying that this EIS got to be thoroughly studied to see the impacts. I'm just saying that it's always been in Hawaii that it's money. Money over natives, and it's just how it's always been. But if we don't say nothing, our kids don't know nothing. And if we don't stand up, then they don't see that that's a possibility. So you're only Hawaiian once, I am. And I'm going to be what I am till I die. And I'll express my point of view of who I am till I die. And everybody who lives here in Hawaii should have said that first. Respect the Hawaiian traditional beliefs. And then go worry about your chicken dying and your air. Not that we don't breathe clean air or drink clean water. But I really believe if everybody pushed in support of us first, we wouldn't be here today. So my minute's up. I'm just saying your EIS better deal with the questions and the laws, because it'll be challenged in court. Thank you.
Next is Rocky Jensen. Would you prefer to sit or stand? What? Sit or stand? Stand?
No, it's stand.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not there.
It's up to you.
I'm old, but I'm not
there. Rocky, it's only has okay. So long, so just really be careful.
So, John, you're going to take all the heat, right? Anoa'i, Chukwako.
Aloha.
I ran out of aloha, so you guys got to excuse that part. Used to get.
Hey, Rocky, can you speak more into the mic?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I am 78 years old. I've been on this planet long enough to tell you guys what I've seen. I was born on Oahu, but now I'm living here. You guys haven't changed the appetite at all. You guys have become more greedy. This is the result of it. We need more power. We need more food. We need more stuff. And yet you guys don't get it. This is a freaking island. 78 years old, I see you guys worried about jobs. Your kid's not going to afford one house. And you guys talking about power. I live on a freaking extension cord. I'm homeless. And when I see you guys fighting for power, let's get some juice. My car wasn't running for 1 month. You know how it's like riding around on a bike carrying 35 pounds of food on your back? That's what it reminded me of, the old days, camping. And I'm still camping. You guys live in houses. You guys got this $300,000 house. Brother just built one right next door to me. I live country. I don't want money to do that. I want a homestead, but do I get it? 4,732, but you guys don't get it. You guys just play bucket pool. You guys don't like help us get out of the mock and mire. Yet you guys all came on homestead thing, airport, Target, Home Depot. You guys all paid into that. We don't get shit. Programs, education, you guys name it. We have been getting the raw deal. So when I look at these kinds of progress, I go, okay, brother, where do we fit culturally? I went to school like you guys. But one thing I did that you guys didn't do was learn about this culture. You guys are abusing this freaking island. But you guys don't get it because you guys are greedy. You guys don't like it. Hey, you guys know where you was born. Hello? I like Quebec, but it ain't the same. You guys lucky you got this place. You guys lucky. Lucky. Don't abuse it. That's my concern. Culturally, I'm here with brother because we want to make sure that when you guys insert something, don't make the mistake of forgetting the black ass Kanaka. Because that's how we've been living for 75 freaking years, how people treat us. I don't like that. I didn't do that to you. In fact, I can't even invite you guys to come here. I never see invitations going out. And then all these guys that are on contract, you guys work in the plantation mentality. Wasn't that contract filed? All the guys closed down? Why you don't give us the buildings there? Let us use the building. There's not one business on Hawaiian homeland, right? Not one business. I'm a carver. I've been carving for 50 years. Stone, metal, fiber, you name it, paper. That's what I do. I'm not after the money. I just want to put back our memories. This is what we did. This is what. Remember, we are brought in by the idea of what we do for society. You guys forgot. You guys said, go marijuana. That's enough for your Hawaiian. To me, it's a blasphemy. There's so much history on this island you guys could benefit besides digging a freaking hole. I don't know how you guys are going to do the business, but it worries me because, you see, what brother said, traditionally, I'm bound by this rule. We've been grown up with this rule about who Pele was, who Kani was, who Kanalua was, who Lona. And I don't see them as real people. They're just elementals. That's all they are. people with energy. These are the, but we gave them faces, we gave them names so they could walk along with us. Now, you guys gonna build this, walk with them. That's a mistake you guys gonna make. If you don't walk with them, hey, remember what happened the last time, right? History repeats itself.
Thanks, Rocky. Mahalo. This is ridiculous how they have to reset this each time.
Brian Christ.
Do you want to sit or stand, Brian?
What's that?
Do you want to sit or stand?
I can't hear you.
Do you want to sit or stand?
I'll stand.
Okay. Can you use the mic so people can
sure.
hear you on Zoom?
These guys,
that would be great.
These guys just talked about culture and tradition, and I'm a Howley guy from somewhere else. When I first came here, everybody used to pray before they got into the ocean. I talk to the kids about it now, and nobody does that anymore. They forgot about it. I've been a neighbor for PG&E for 10 years, and I came here to this meeting tonight because there's all this talk about things like fracking.
Can you put it up to your mouth, because we're recording it. We're going to have this on the video. It's going to be posted online, so we want a recording. Can you lift it up to your mouth so we can hear you?
Sure.
Thanks.
So. I came here tonight because there's all this, I hear all this great stuff around the neighborhood about PGV fracking, or they're drilling under ley line, or there's pentane gas. And I want to talk about PGV as my neighbor for 10 years and the rumor mill going around. So PGV is run by a new company, Ormat. It's not the old company that ran it poorly before. So this is a new watch that's going on. They're regulated by the EPA. The environmental impact statement, I got great questions about that. And I would love to hear how they got around putting the driveway in, but that's kind of a different thing. PGV has done a lot of stuff for our community that nobody talks about. Tohiki is going because PGV put up the money. The transfer station here is going because PGV put up the money. They've been really open-handed with the money and what they're doing, and 100% open book. You got questions, ask them. They're willing to tell you. There's 4 monitoring stations. They're running 24 hours a day, and they measure in parts per billion. We all live with the fishers, and they spew out so much toxic stuff, the ground turns yellow. And that's not something new from this last eruption. That's been going on. Where the water station was at the top of Pohiki Road, those fishers are still there, been there for years and years and years. We all are breathing that and talking about what PGV is putting out. PGV would be shut down in one day if they put out 1/10 of what's coming out of the ground. I would like people to understand and be a little bit of understanding. When the lava was going on, these guys, they couldn't get to the plant, so they came and volunteered at the hub. So that's how they stayed employed, is they volunteered at the hub. They donated a container. They donated food, water, all kinds of stuff for our community, right? So for us, that's what they did for us. There's all kinds of stuff. PGV doesn't sell electricity to us individually. They don't own the transmission lines. Halco does, which is a monopoly. It's a super monopoly. So they can't set the price on the power or do any of that stuff. I wish people would be a little bit more understanding. Look at where the money's going. Look at what it is. Subterranean mineral rights. the lease on 400 acres of land, but really it's on 40 acres of land. And we're talking about millions of dollars, and where's that money going? It's not PGB that's getting it, and how much of that money is coming back into our community? Where's it going? Right? Well, PGB stood up for our community. I mean, they really did. When the chips were down, they stood up. They opened the doors. And any questions you got? I got some questions about the driveway, the environmental impact the statement. How come we need an environmental impact statement for Pohiki Road, but they didn't need one to put in the driveway? Then why did they get to do that? Why did they get the road first? Well, the big answer in that is because if PGB is denied access, then they don't have to pay. So they're the tax base for Puna.
Thank you.
That's great money.
Corey Harden next, please.
I just want to remind everyone that
Corey, do you
read my religion?
Oh, sorry.
I just wanted to remind everyone that's gonna come up to speak. It's really important you need to speak into the microphone. My recording is going towards the EIS, and that's why you're all here tonight, because that is your chance to get your voice and your perspective heard. And I know a lot of you are frustrated, but don't let that ruin your chance of being heard. I know it's weird, but please speak clear into the microphone so that we can get your recording. Thank you.
Corey, she was just saying, can you hear what she was saying? She's saying speak into the mic to be picked up. Do you want to sit or stand?
Stand.
Okay, and then just come close to this because we only have so much cord.
And don't trip over the cord.
Yes, I will be careful going back.
Aloha, everybody. Aloha. Corey Harden for Sierra Club on Hawaii Island Group. Puna Geothermal has been a textbook example of environmental injustice for over 3 decades. The state defines environmental injustice as disproportionate adverse impact in disadvantaged areas and areas disadvantaged. Median household income for Leilani Estates is less than half the state average, Nanivale about half, Pahoa about one third. Per capita income for all three is about $10,000 less than state average. At a meeting about PGV in Pahoa several years ago, attendees were asked to raise their hands if they were off-grid. Most of the hands in the room went right up. That means that people who are receiving no benefit from PGV are being subjected to the impacts. In the 1990s, there were 18 declared emergencies. In the late 90s and early 2000s, there was a problem almost every 2 months, mostly hydrogen sulfide releases, and incidents with pentane and noise. Shortly after PGV opened, people went down to protest and ended up covered in drilling mud spewing from the plant on them and on the neighborhood. In June 1991, of course, a complete blowout, an unabated steam release for about a day and a half, and a release of over 2,000 pounds of hydrogen sulfide. November 1992, a near blowout, only prevented by harried operators parking two D9 tractors on top of a well. 2012, the county passed a law to stop nighttime drilling after hearing testimony from dozens of residents impacted by the noise and the vibration of drilling that went on 24/7, sometimes for over a month. But state law allows nighttime drilling overrode the county, and so it continues to this day. 2014, PGB's air permit expired, but they had applied for renewal, so Department of Health let them continue operations. In 2015, residents who didn't agree with this tried a contest case on the permit, but to this day, a hearing has not been scheduled. August 2014, during Tropical Storm Isel, hydrogen sulfide was released, and neighbors could not get out due to the intense wind and downed trees blocking the roads. Over 100 people reported symptoms, nausea, headaches, lethargy, and some people passed out. May 2018, during the eruption, PGV did not move 60,000 gallons of highly flammable, toxic pentane out of danger until citizens protested and the governor stepped in. The onslaught of environmental injustice has been relentless. The EIS needs to deliver chapter, line, and verse of what will finally be done to stop this.
Yeah. 3 minutes of baffling. Sarah Steiner. Would you prefer to stand or sit, Sarah?
Probably stand.
Okay. Just be careful of this cord, please. It's okay. Only half
Am
so long.
Am I talking to Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. So, PGV's 1987 environmental impact statement did not include the words induced seismicity one time. And if you Google the words induced seismicity, you'll find millions of hits. And you will find that geothermal plants all over the world are known to create induced seismicity, which is little bitty fractures. Because when you put water down into a well, even if it's not under pressure, the pressure will build up and there's a little cracks. And so there's been several studies of Puna Geothermal Venture over the years. There was a study in 1995, Cooper and Dustman, and they started their study by saying that geothermal plant injection wells are known to cause earthquakes. And earthquakes can travel, you know, those earthquakes can be generated at PGV, but they can travel underground along faults and different things for many miles away. And there is protocol. I'm trying to, of all the pages of things I'm going to submit to you, the EPA and the United States Bureau of Land Management, and even ORMAT, Mike, in 2013 knew about protocol for locating geothermal plants of your, you know, ORMAT plants in California. And so we have no seismic monitoring here for Puna Geothermal Venture since 2018. The seismometers got covered in lava or whatever happened. And so there's no way to tell if they're generating any earthquakes. Well, they're drilling their new wells and they're pressure testing the formations to see how much fluid that they will take. And so I know that you know that that's a requirement now. We live in the modern age. We don't live in 1987 where we don't admit that injection wells cause earthquakes, and there's protocol. You don't locate geothermal wells in neighborhoods. You don't locate them in the middle of faults with the grabens and antithetic faults, which are where lava comes out on an active volcano. You don't do that. And we saw what happened in 2018. Well, these guys were putting water in trying to save their wells. They like cracked open the whole island and blew it out. All those fissures happened while you guys were putting all that water down into an erupting volcano, Mike. We know the lava, it's called a phreatomagmatic explosion. When water hits lava up at the caldera, it explodes. When lava hits the water at the ocean, it explodes. So I don't know why PGV thought it was really smart to put water and then salt water for 2 weeks into their wells trying to save them. And they blew our island apart, and the lava came out, and then once they made all that empty hole under there for 2 weeks, then the rest of the lava came from Hale Mau Mau, and it came out, Fisher 8, and it covered us up.
Yes.
Okay, and now, sorry, but the head of the Volcano Observatory was on site, and they are expert. They're one of their expert things. The guy didn't even say anything while you were putting water down there. The guy didn't tell you to stop, that it causes explosions. You didn't see the lava exploding out of Fissure 17. You guys didn't think that putting water into 2,000 degree hot rocks and wells wouldn't blow up. You guys, they did not think, okay? And I'm submitting all that evidence to you. And so I'm sorry, I'm really upset. And what the hell, excuse me, is environmental justice? You get to pay money, excuse me.
One more minute.
Okay, so geothermal relocation plan, they got to relocate people who were impacted by PGV, and then they went and sold the homes to the workers of PGV for way less money than the county paid for it. And so that was happening up until the eruption. And so in environmental justice, PGV paying to put in lifeguard stations, or they're going to pay to build a dump, does not make up for what they do underground, and I'm sorry. Thank you.
Larry Wood. Hey Larry, do you prefer to sit or stand?
I'm gonna stand.
Okay, can you just come to the mic? You only have so much cord here, so be careful. Like I'm wrapped up in it right now. And can you hold it up to your mouth so we can record you?
Hello everyone, my name's Larry Wood. I have at least three main points that I want to make about the EIS. I'm sure I won't have time, but I'm going to list them out anyway. Number one, there is no need for the PGB energy. Since in 2009, the state passed an ordinance mandating that the electricity usage in the state would decline by 40% in 2030. That was 22 years at that point. At that time, the Big Island was using the equivalent of 145 megawatts. If we put that 40% reduction on there, that is mandated by the state that there will be 85 megawatts of use, 85 megawatts of electricity generated to supply the Big Island. PGV, and that's something I want to emphasize too, if this environmental impact statement is approved, if the plan is approved, PGV automatically has a 30-year contract. And if it's approved as written, they will have a 30-year contract to supply 60 megawatts of electricity. That if the mandate of the state is followed, the total use of the Big Island will be 85 megawatts. PGB, in that case, would be generating 3/4 of the Big Island's electricity. That is not acceptable. The island should not be dependent on one plant, which is what this plan would produce if the state mandates are followed. We already have 20 megawatts from hydro and wind sources. We have 60 megawatts of solar coming on within the next year. We've already got too much, guys. That means that all of the alternatives that are appearing now, including solar, including virtual power plants, including biofuels, all of those are not going to have a market anymore. PGB would become the main supplier of the island's electricity. Right now, we have 4 major plants that supply the island's electricity. We would be declined to 1 or 2. So that brings me to another point. PGB is listed in any of the classifications as a renewable, stable, baseline resource. When PGB came online in 1992, I forgot what I was going to say, but when they came online in 1992, there were they were supposed to generate 30 megawatts. In 2012, that was increased to 38 megawatts. In those 20, in 1992 to now, that's been 30 years. In 2 years, they actually made that quota, 2 out of 30.
1 more minute.
So it cannot be considered baseline stable. That removes its major advantage. And I haven't even talked about the environmental problems and the and the emergency response plan, but hopefully I might get a chance later. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dante, and I think the writing is Ordilla. What was your last name?
Orpilia.
Orpilia, sorry, yes. I can't read your writing.
Dante Orpilia.
Oh.
Can you hear me? Check,
yep.
Check.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, my name is Dante. I just want to start by saying that I am a huge proponent of the sciences. I am a huge proponent of clean energy. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I moved here in the first place, was because of the advancement of clean energy on this island. I'm excited about clean energy. But having witnessed this, I'm super discouraged. I'm almost heartbroken by what I'm seeing here, because it's just clear that you're not listening. And I can tell you're not listening because you're giving 2 weeks for people to comment that have been yelling at the top of their lungs for 30 years. Since back in 1991, when you started, and Mr. Christ, with all due respect, it was the same company back then that was responsible for that blowout back then. So they have not cleaned up there. It is not a different company. It is the same company. You're just not listening. And it's super frustrating, because what you can bring to the table, the technology that you can bring to the table, is being muddied by this idea that you have privilege here. It is the same as the Mauna Kea study that they're doing. You're asking, should we move forward? Should we move forward? But you're asking the wrong question. The question isn't, should you move forward? It's if that question is even yours to begin with. And it's not.
Yes.
That answer is with the people who call the place. And John Olson, I can answer your question. Don't worry about the county paying. They're not paying. She's not allowed to have, you know, any opinion on the company, if they're right or they're wrong, but she is allowed to get paid. This is a study being paid for by the company they're supposed to be critical of. And it's just super sad, because people who are actually a proponent of what you are trying to do can't even stand up with you, because what you're doing is wrong. It is not your decision to make. It belongs with the people who have lived here forever and who live here now. And that should be it. Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to yield my time for one of those people. Thank you.
Robert Patrici. Did I get that right? I can't read everyone's writing. I'm trying as hard as I can.
You can call me anything.
Would you prefer to sit or stand?
I'm going
to
sit.
Just make sure you talk into the mic so we can record you.
I've done it before.
Oh, there we go. You got it?
Aloha.
Aloha.
I've lived with geothermal since 1981. I was half a mile, three quarters of a mile away from the HDPA well, and that's 42 years, so I've seen it all, and I know what's going on. And I got to tell you, you know, I read your report, and right in the beginning you say, we continue to supply safe, reliable power. That's not a true statement. And for you to then say you're not biased towards PGV, but say stuff like that, and that's not the only thing. There's other things in there too that are just not true. And you probably just don't know that because you haven't gotten the information, because you haven't talked to the right people. Let's see. So PGB has been in violation of the county GRP permit since day one. The county had a meeting and there was a lot of objection. Hundreds of people testified against this plan, almost killed it. And they said, no, we're going to go to mediation and we're going to have 51 conditions. And one of those conditions was best available control technology, BACT. They didn't use best approach. They didn't do it. They open vented the wells because it was cheaper than putting in a cyclonic separator and abating the gas, and they poisoned the whole community. And Corey was talking about drilling mud coming down on people. Harry Kim was there, he was covered in drilling mud, and so were all of us. Me and Kaliko Kanaele trespassed in there before they open vented that well and were arrested for simple trespass. Went to trial in Judge Amano's courtroom in Kau, and she acquitted me of a necessity offense, a lesser evil to trespass in there and stop them from open venting than to let them open vent. And that's when they switched to BACT. But they didn't get any trouble. And that's not the only thing. The monitoring is not BACT. Those are not monitors. They're sampling stations. To have monitors, you have to monitor at the source so you know how much came out, and then you have a computer model that models where it goes so you know who got exposed. There's been hundreds of lawsuits against PGB, and they've paid damages, but they've never been able to prove it because there's no data to this date. Since 1981, and it's not like they don't know that. They know that those are samplers, and that's not a monitor. And no other industry in the state or in the country, I think, gets away with that. And they do that so we can't prove how bad they hurt us because there's no data. That's not BACT. That's not BACT. BACT is a real monitoring system that has computer modeling and that measures what's released at the source so we know how much is being put out into the community and what we're breathing. There's no emergency response plan or evacuation plan for the community. That's another requirement in the GRP that is not met. They're not even fulfilling the original permit. They're operating on an expired non-covered source permit, which I've been in that contested case since 2014 or 2015, whenever it started. And they're deliberately dragging this out because PGB has a permit shield. They applied for that renewal in 2014, and it was granted, and so they're shielded. That's why they don't want to talk about the new plant and all that under this. And they say that as soon as the permit is issued, they're going to immediately amend it because they already know. What kind of stuff is that? You know that you have to do it, but you're not going to do it. You're going to pass this permit on insufficient information, and then you're going to amend the permit. It's just how the things have always been. And, they've been sued and paid damages to hundreds of people. Isel, the blowout, is just on and on. There's pages and pages of that kind of stuff. And they've never been held accountable. You know, they get away with this stuff. It's like the fix is in. I got to believe there's a conspiracy between the regulators and PGB. How do you get away with all of that stuff for all of these years? And it's royalties, yeah, we're giving money to the county, yeah, we're giving money to the state. It's basically, they're paying them off. And the fix is in. They can't withstand a fair process. If you're going to really do an EIS, give us a fair process. Don't put us in a room where we have to leave in a few hours. You know that. Why don't you get a venue where we can actually talk about this for as long as we want, until we get the answers that we need, until you get the information that you need to do an EIS. You can't do an EIS if you don't have the information. I'm sorry, but your report there shows that you're ignorant, you don't understand, you don't have the facts.
Loke Madrigal. Okay, do you prefer to stand or sit?
I stand.
Okay, just come over here, so because the mic only goes so far. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to
read this because I was listening to everybody, and I was at the first geothermal, and I was at 87 when they all got pulled into jail and everything, and we were all down there. And I also lived Kalapana when Kelly came down, very mellowly, of course, next to this last one. I did Champagne Ponds. That one came down in Fury. Because there was, excuse me, there was fracking. They drilled further than they should, because I knew people that worked there. They were paid to not say nothing. I also lived in Leilani when there was leaks and me and my kids couldn't breathe, and they were paying people $10,000 not to say anything. And I'm a little nervous, but.
Just breathe, just breathe.
Because I don't know if I should say some of this, but.
Just take a breath.
I have one family friends that knew some guys that worked down there that quit because they had to write, sign something that say they would not speak about what was going down there. They've seen stuff, and of course, we had to go through that process when they had to take all those tanks out. And I was in Champagne Ponds with my family, and they could explode or whatever, you know, it could have been released. So, thinking back, there was a man from Australia that came here years ago, 30 years ago, and he said, my God, or whatever it was when the geothermal started, he says, there should never be a geothermal on an island where there's people living. Because if this explodes, it'll smell like rotten eggs everywhere and everybody will die, okay? So the things I've gone through where I couldn't breathe and people were getting 10,000 to shut up, and they also got paid 1,000 when it went off over here to shut up because they got sick. There's a lot of lies going on. And I'm glad to see all these people here because this is bullshit. I have children, grandchildren, and I build my home here, okay? I have Hawaiian children. I am Indian, you know, in Spanish. My children are from Kohala, from the ancestors that go way back, okay? So I don't want to see my grandchildren suffer because this thing explodes again, okay? That's all I got to say.
Anoka Shane, I can't read the last name.
Bingo.
Thank you. Just be careful.
After hearing the comments and testimonies of opposition, it is evident that the community does not want another site built, but the antithesis, the fiscal irresponsibility of wasting taxpayer funds on a sustainability project that is in fact unsustainable, life-threatening, not to just this island, but the entire Hawaiian island chain and the west coast of the continents, North and South America, and environmentally completely irresponsible. Moving forward, you are all individually and as representatives of these agencies and departments being put on legal notice and warning right now. Your ignorance to the laws you're actively breaking will not be an excuse because I'm about to list off at least one title law, Title 18. 18 U.S.C. 2383, insurrection against the Constitution by inciting, assisting, or engaging in rebellion against the constitutional authority of the United States. You're not abiding by the people's request. 18 U.S.C. 1001, fraud by a judge. You guys are not letting these people's contested case go through. Cut that out. Concealing a material fact, making a false representation, writing a false document, or having knowledge of a false doctor. That's what that law means. 18 U.S.C. subsection 1001, use of false writing by government official. 18 U.S.C. 1001, possession of false, altered, or forged, or counterfeit writing. 1001, cover up, concealing a material fact. You're canceling these people's contested court case, and you need to allow that. You just canceled one on August 8th, I believe, that really gave you evidence. And it's in there. 18 U.S.C. 1346, scheme or artifice to defraud by depriving another of the intangible right of honest services. There's no public working size monitors. These people could get sick and die at any moment. You guys are completely irresponsible for this. 18 U.S.C. 1519, impeding a matter under agency, department, investigation, administration, or jurisdiction by impeding or obstructing or influencing any such matter by destroying, mutilating, or altering, concealing, cover up, falsifying, or making a false entry in any record, document, or tangible object. That's that part about operating without those air pollution permits or the seismometers or any type of seismic data that cannot go through. You guys need to input all of that into any assessment that you guys do. You cannot conceal that. 18 U.S.C. 1510, obstructing a criminal investigation by preventing the communication of information relating to a violation of any criminal statute of the U.S. to a criminal investigator by canceling that appeal. 18 U.S.C. that's all the Title 18 laws that you guys are violating and the subsections. These people are the majority stakeholders. They've spoken very clearly. Cease and desist immediately or be held responsible as individuals and as agencies. Thank you.
Kaylee Payton?
Oh, I'm just going to let somebody else go because I'm not going after Bingo. Lucky said everything.
You want to defer until later, okay.
Do we need to learn our
Shelly, lesson? If it's your time, talk. I mean, you've got 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes? Okay. So, Shelly Mahi, if you change your mind, you can come back after. We'll circle back around to you. Do you want to sit or stand? Are you able to do both, or you want me to hold the mic for you? Or here, I can. Let me. I can do this.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Wait, hold on. Let me. Do you want to face us or them?
Okay.
I just want to get. Just make sure you speak right into it.
Okay. Aloha, y'all.
Aloha. We've been dealing with geothermal for a very long time. I'm a United States of America citizen, and this is the literally occupied Kohawai Pa'aina Hawaiian Kingdom. So basically, it's title, it's also another code, Title 37 Penal Code, that the sheriff and the Federal Bureau of Investigations mentioned. They're practicing RICO, racketeering, on land that doesn't belong to them. Also, I wanted to bring up the issue of the water permit. Chauncey Hugh of Department of Health, he admitted to me on the phone that he's a geologist, not a chemist. He has no idea what happens when he makes all those chemicals, which are on what's called the raw purple list. He doesn't know what happens when they go in the ground because he's not a chemist. So the water permit is not viable at all. There's GTW3, Malamalama Key, all these different water test sites. And basically, I was told by the geothermal when Amy Nioli, she was a county councilwoman, I was her assistant. I was asked to go to the geothermal plant. They put a dog tag on me and would not give me the MSDS sheets, the material safety data sheets. One of them is catalyzed sulfide. And according to the MSDS, has lead and arsenic in it. I was informed, no offense, sir, but I was informed by that gentleman there that they use the non-lead and arsenic and, you know, the non-troublesome catalyzed sulfide. Also, that the emergency response plan. Okay, so I volunteered with EPA, Civil Defense, and with Puna Malama Pono. Geothermal is supposed to be telling Puna Malama Pono, what are you injecting in the ground? They're supposed to be telling the fire department, because how are they supposed to respond to an emergency if they don't know what's coming out of it? I actually was able to go over the schematics for the geothermal plant. And basically, you're operating your caustic soda abatement system on a 1.5 liter engine. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's like a weed eater. And because the green maps from the Department of Health, the wellhead is 1,300 parts per million, which is lethal in 1 to 2 breaths. Now, when I called up the, y'all know Aurora, she brought a, she was so sick. She's like 900 feet from the plant. They vented horizontally instead of vertically, and all kind of health problems there. But she gave me this document from Lorraine and Noe. And I called up the EPA, like, what am I looking for? I called the hazardous branch. They said, ma'am, parts per minute, okay, parts per bin. Let's look at poundage. How much poundage is coming out of that plant and being mixed with the air? Oh, I found something. I says, well, what's like that? She goes, well, 100 pounds of hydrogen sulfide in a 24-hour period is a criminal infraction. Ooh. Ooh, I found something, 180 pounds per 24-hour period? No, sir, per hour. Whoa. So the EPA said that they should have evacuated Pahoa up to 10 square miles. So here's the thing, the emergency response plan, I went to civil defense, they got this little pamphlet. It's actually in packages of hydrogen sulfide. I'm like, okay. And at these early notification areas, the school is just outside the early notification rain map area. And that in itself, they told me, oh, we'll just put them in the band room. Okay, first of all, if there's a 3-second drop on the electric grid, they gotta do an emergency release from geothermal. You can't fit even the first and second grade into the band room.
One more minute.
Federal undertakings. There has been federal money spent. I went to college under Dr. Peter Mills. I learned what a federal undertaking is. You spend 1 cent of federal money. You ask advice, road permits, whatever. That's a federal undertaking. And it's nice that you're having a meeting here with the public. But actually, you need to be talking to the host culture. A cultural impact statement. You can't get around EPA, you know, by doing other sidesteps and not talk to the Kanaka Maoli. This is their environment. And they're talking about drilling into a place that's the house of the moon, and there's chants, and the part is the fragrance. You can't smell that fragrance when you get rotten egg smell. And they're notorious for not notifying anybody. Also, is this on Hawaiian homeland, y'all? Is it on Hawaiian homeland? Hawaiian, no. Okay, well, I was gonna say Hawaiian homeland, since year 2000, does not allow spraying of herbicides. So I basically wanna make one last comment about the gas. Tamar Elias from the volcano, she said, volcanic gas is only 10% hydrogen sulfide. The gas coming out of the geothermal plant is a juvenile gas. It is way higher, it's not the same as a naturally occurring gas from Pele from the volcano.
Thank you. Mike Ament or Ament? Mike, are you here? Mike Ament? Okay. Ben Cole? Do you want to stand or talk? Stand. Just don't pull on this because we only have limited cordage.
My name's Ben Colt. Absolutely love Hawaii, and I just didn't know the first thing about geothermal until actually a few months ago. And what I've found has been absolutely appalling. I found a for-profit corporation with zero oversight, a community that has for decades been raising concerns, not having their voices heard, even to the point where the residents who live down there don't even have an evacuation road if an emergency happens. And I think that one that's completely unacceptable on all levels, and I think that your environmental impact study should also include all the known risks with induced seismicity. That would include any sort of debris avalanches, submarine landslides. I think it should identify all of the known fractures, cracks, even the Great Crack. I think that they should annotate that it is moving already, and that if we're going to allow a company to continue to pump what ultimately turns out to be millions of gallons of water back thousands of feet into the ground, and we're just going to rely on their word that they're doing the right thing, when just a bit too much pore pressure could actually crack those existing cracks and fractures in the rocks that they're looking for more than maybe they desire. And what's the outcome? Why has nobody addressed what happened in 2018? Why has nobody addressed pouring water into the wells to quench them instead of just allowing the lava to pass over them? But because if that had happened, there would not have been the explosions, and arguably there would not have been the same sort of destruction that we saw from that eruption. And I think that it is ridiculous to move forward in any shape, form, or fashion without addressing these past issues, without listening to the community that's here in support of this. And I think that it needs to stop being promoted as a renewable resource when we know that the wells have a shelf life. And so every so often, they're going to have to be replaced. And those drill sites, they can't be reused. So how is that renewable? The heat's there, but you're going to have to continually expand and drill in more places. In more places like what? Department of Hawaiian Homelands land? Is that what? Is that why we're looking for more drills, more wells, because they're already in talks of expanding geothermal to all the different islands? And guaranteed, if this environmental impact study goes through, they will use that to set the new standard for all new geothermal operations across all islands. And they want to go to Hawaiian Homelands first. They've already taken enough of the Hawaiian homelands. Like, why are we not putting the Hawaiians first? Why in the world would we want to bring something in a toxic, I mean, a history of problems within the community? Why would we want to bring this into Hawaiian homelands? Why would we want to bring this to any other island? We have zero transparency. People can't even have their most basic questions answered. They're getting the runaround at every step of the way. They're shutting down court cases. This is the opposite of transparency in leadership and government, and especially in private corporations. Since when are we going to have private corporations that are self-reporting? That we're just going to trust them, even though they're out there to make money, we're going to trust them to do the right thing. That seems absolutely absurd to me as well. And I think that the geological impact study should absolutely cover the Helena Slump, the Great Crack, all known fractures and cracks anywhere. It's kind of my understanding, I don't understand how there's a geothermal plant on an active rift zone on a volcano that drills 8,000 feet into the ground and hits the water table at 1,000 feet. And with that drill, they have a drill head and water that is going down into the ground that is affecting that water table and that aquifer. So the slightest bit too much pressure, you know what that happens? You know what happens? They're already looking for existing fractures and cracks in that rock. So what happens if you add too much pressure? What happens? Cracks even more. We live on a volcanic island that is brittle, and this rock can fall away at any moment, and it is absurd to allow a company for profit with no oversight whatsoever to continue their operations and to continue pumping millions of gallons of fluid into the ground. It's absurd. And then the audacity to want to take this to power, why don't you be honest about what the real goals are to power the new telescopes for TMT, that you want to take this up to Mauna Kea and drill because there's heat there, that you want to take this East Maui volcano and drill there. Oh yeah, because you don't actually have to have an active volcano. They can drill into an extinct volcano, so why don't we go to Oahu, the Hawaiian homelands, and go over to Waianae volcano and start drilling thousands of feet into that too. It's out of control. This must stop here and now.
Elena Newton?
Present.
Here you want to stand?
Yeah.
Okay, just be careful of the cord.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Elena Newton, and the reason that we're here is to discuss again the draft that you're putting together. Your company is contracted to put this draft together. When you even look at the geology section in 3.1, it really specifically talks about how to protect PGB. It doesn't talk about doing a full geological survey of the entire southeast flank of the Kilauea volcano along the rift zone. It doesn't talk about doing a geological survey that would include looking at three-dimensional vertical maps to the subsurface or the deeper geology that extends into the faults or extends past the drill wells that go again down 6,000 to 8,000 feet. My concern is that the purpose of an environmental impact statement is to look at how you're impacting the environment. And the environment includes not just everything I just mentioned, but also the people. The people are part of this environment. And again, as a doctor, knowing that we have to go through certain protocols at times to make sure that the right proposals, the right permits, the right path is created, I look through your environmental statement and it doesn't talk about the environment. It talks about how to protect the for-profit company, which is partnered with ORMAD, which is out of Israel, not even America. We don't even have our own companies from our own soil producing any kind of resources. But the beautiful thing about this is that these people, they've been waiting and fighting for an environmental impact statement for a very long time. And here we are, and here you are. And you are responsible for doing your due diligence to make sure that the comments that are submitted, that the people who are putting their time and effort, this is not our job. We are civilians, we are residents, we have other jobs, but we're taking the time to connect with you because it's your job. Whoever is paying you, you're still your own company. You still have your own rights and responsibilities, your own due diligence to do a proper draft and a proper report that includes the environment and includes the people. And so this opportunity, there's more resting on your report than I think you realize, because the only reason that you're contracted to do this report is because they want to expand. We've asked them to do similar reports, environmental impact studies, because of the environment, the people's environment, the area that they are drilling, which is a very possible unstable environment, and they have not done so. We've talked to our own counties, we've talked to our own governing bodies, and they also are not concerned, but also not producing research, transparency, truth, or content to make us, the people, not concerned as well. So you're in a really wonderful position to do the best environmental impact statement you've ever done. And we're gonna be reviewing it. We're gonna make sure you look at our comments. We're gonna make sure you understand what our comments are directed towards. We're gonna make sure that if our comments are not taken into consideration when you create your finalized report, that everybody knows that you didn't look at our comments and our complaints. So I'm grateful you're here, because we are going to make sure that you do your job as your own organization, not hired by this private company. And I'm gonna be in the back at the end of this meeting to get anybody's information. Your email is preferred, because we have a lot of amazing people here working for the same goal. We have amazing people who've been doing it for longer than some people. We have new people doing it, and we need to stay connected. And we need to make sure that we know the next phase of this process. So I will be in the back to get your information, to send you the connecting information so that we can stay united. Thank you.
Russ Henry or Ali, whether you're pronounce it in the French manner.
Henry.
Henry. You want to stand or sit?
Stand.
Okay. Just be careful of the cord. It only goes so long.
I want to thank the people who've spoken already. I don't have technical information to add. I'm a psychologist and Dr. Henry. I can testify about the damage that living with lies does to each one of us. And the environment, the social environment that we live in,
It's really difficult, and my heart goes out to everybody here. I was at UH in 1990, and I heard Mr. Deadman speak, and he said, "We cannot poke holes in Pelley." And it hit me really hard, what you said earlier about our cultural / environmental kuleana and our environmental karma that we have. I came here in 1990 and got in the way of, they wanted the same company, it's the same company, Ormat has been around for a long time, and they wanted to put holes all the way through the bottom Kaleopuna. And that would have been like, 20 times bigger? I don't know the exact. At least 20 times bigger than what we have now. That's how much they care about the people here. They wanted to put it 20 times. Remember the little eruption that came down a few years back and it stopped at the street? Stopped at the highway? That would have gone right through there. That would have gone right into those wells. And I just want to thank the Hawaiian people for their leadership. In thousands, 2,000 years until now. And I know that there's a lot of different Hawaiians and they're hurting too. Everyone's hurting. When we're not taking care of our air, when we're not taking care of our water, when we can't really talk about the environment and the environmental impact of PGV on our community, because we're only supposed to be assessing whether or not this is going to be better than it was. That's someone, I don't know, bullshit is always still smells the same. I just really think we need to pull together as a community, and I thank the people who spoke today and who reminded us of that.
Hello? Oh, did you want to go before we go to the Zoom folks? Because you're on the list, and I wanted to know, should we go back to you before we go to the folks on Zoom? Yeah. Hold on, let me just get my timer set. And just be careful of this cord.
You don't need to put the timer. I'm going to be fast, Rob. Yeah.
So, do we need another radio?
Oh, no. A few more signed up.
Okay. I didn't think so. But that's the only time you learn.
Is any more signed up that way? It's only this way. Okay.
I can't add anything to what wasn't already said. So thank you guys.
Hey Jake, did we have any more people sign up on Zoom? What was the name?
Kira Lorenzo. We have four.
Okay, one more. Okay. I don't know if I'm spelling that right. Okay. Leomana? Did I say that correctly? Leomana?
Sorry, my leg is sore. Combat veteran.
Don't worry
went to
about
Iraq,
it.
Student oil. I mean,
right.
Weapons of
Talk
mass
right
destruction.
In there so we can get you. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, mahalo.
Let me get that right there.
Aloha.
Aloha. My name is Ron Iwani Leomana Tarabin from Kuwapoku, Mauna Kea. I grew up down in Pohuiki. My parents are responsible for starting the nonprofit schools and the charter schools down there at Pohuiki. I got covered by the lava flow. A little bit about me. I'm a Marine Corps Combat Veteran, Special Forces. I 2019 NASA Rookie of the Year Award for Rocketry and Engineering, and I'm currently in my senior year of my Astrophysics degree at University of Hawaii at Hilo. I just wanted to let you know that so we all can understand. I got some engineering. I know what's going on. Can I ask you where you're from?
This is just for you to comment.
Huh?
This is just for you to comment. Okay. Yeah.
So you're not from here. Why does your opinion matter if you're not from here?
No.
This is my home. Does not my opinion matter? I'm smart enough to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm here. Okay. So first thing I wanted to address is I'm Hawaiian. This hurts me. This hurts my culture. This hurts my people. When I come into a room, when I come into a room full of people that don't look like me, but it's my land, I feel terrified. I'm triggered being in this room. Because things like this hurt my culture. It takes away my language. It takes away my people. If you look in this whole district, the people don't look like me. And it hurts. So when they say culture as a part of this BIS, where is the culture? There's a couple of old guys over there, and that's it. Those are my uncles. That's the last. So the Hawaiians are gone. We're going extinct. That's what you're making happen. I'm the current commissioner of wild game for the island, and probably for the state. All my animals are going extinct, my birds. Please go look it up. Go on Google and search Hawaiian birds going extinct. We're losing 5 in the next 4 months. We're losing 10 in the next 2 years. And it's because of things like this that destroy the ohia trees, right? The lava comes out and it destroys the forest. It makes the ohia weak. And when rot goes around, it kills the trees, and now all of the birds are gone. All the birds are flying up into the uplands in volcano, and they cannot live there because they don't get along with the, what's it called? The invading birds that are not from here, that are setting up their homes in our area. So the natives are going extinct, all of our plants, all of our animals. So I don't know how you can think that this is okay for us. It's not okay for us. And you know that guy, where he said, brought it back there. You never get all of that for free. I lost my language. I lost my culture. That's what paid for the boat ramp, right? Puna Geothermal came in and we paid for that beforehand, before your boat ramp got built, before they helped you out with that lava flow. So it wasn't free. Stop thinking that they gave you a gift. This is a business. They don't care about you. They care about their business. Be real with that. We do. We do. Yeah. Yes.
It's his turn. Let's let him finish. Yep.
Oh, no, we can talk later.
Yeah.
But this is our land. If you do your research, did you do your research? I hope you did. Another thing I wanted to talk about is corruption and accountability right now. Do your research. Everyone is being arrested for corruption, and it has to do with land. Check. You know, because these guys, they don't care about accountability. I do. There's a lot of people going to jail over land and money and bribes right now. They're all politicians. They all, what is that guy's name? He just signed up on some illegal land deals. Yeah. So go check that out, please. Because you could go to jail. This is all illegal. It is. Ask for the receipts. When you do your EIS, ask for the receipts. The land titles. Ask them where is it. Because they don't have it. I promise. They don't have it. And in the long run, we're going to come back. And people are getting arrested right now. The chief of police and his wife. And all of the politicians. And if you think that's not going to come for you, don't be a part of this. Because I'm serious about this. This is my home. I lost a lot. For the people in this room that don't look like me, I lost my culture. I lost my language. My people are destroyed. They don't have their culture. And it's because people move here and they want energy. For what? We didn't want the energy before. And we had way more people here. Again, my name is Leomano Turalde. I'm from here. I grew up here. My beach was secret. My daughter was born right there on those shores and the lava flow covered it. So I have stake in this, not only physically, but spiritually, in my kids and my family. Thank you.
Jared? You want to stand? Just be careful because there's only so much cord open.
Hello, everybody. thank you guys for taking the time and coming out to this meeting here. Super important. There's a lot of things that everybody covered on.
I'm not doing a break.
I just want to point out the things that we call for. You got this guy that's sitting on Hawaiian Homelands Commission. He's going to allow the guys that submitted for another geothermal on Mount Lakea. That's that guy. They don't care about us. When this guy talked about corruption, that's where it starts right now. Nobody's talking about how the state just stole this federal entity called Hawaiian Homelands, placed it under the state as if they owned it. That's this guy right here. Yeah? They stole 2 million acres, so when time for go jail, they better be ready for serve for stealing 2 million acres. We gotta pay attention. We didn't want him on that commission. My mom's a beneficiary. But Ayla, Ige, said it was okay. You know? I'm nobody. But if a nobody can inspire somebody, then I'd rather be a nobody. How are you? Nobody owned land. Jurisdiction is key. Yeah? The illegal overthrow, it's real. Yeah? We have a handful of investors sitting in this room. One left, I see. But they're here. They're probably the ones responsible for the latest election. I'm telling you guys right now, pay attention. Pay attention. We don't need a geothermal. The last 2 years, we never had one rolling blackout. A couple weeks ago, our mayor sends a message out saying, conserve power from 6 to 8. Oh, great, perfect timing. Geothermal holding on need for the EIS. Bring out the ink, let's rubber stamp this. Send them through. Pay attention. I go to the meetings. I was at that meeting last night. I got locked out of you guys' meeting, right? Commission meeting for game management. Game management is serious. Geothermal not helping any of that. Yeah? Kupali Kapu, mahalo, thank you. Inspiring me for speak up for those that cannot speak, standing for those that cannot stand. I love you, uncle. Thank you. But everybody, pay attention. Yeah? Because it's going to happen. Next stop, Mauna Kea. We're not going to let that happen. We want this guy to recuse himself from the commission if you want to be a part of our community.
Junior, Tapai or Tapai?
Yeah, you.
Just be careful, the cord's only so long.
Aloha.
Aloha.
My name is Junior Tapai. Coming here tonight just to listen to the people. That's it, you know, we have two ears and one mouth. Speak less, listen more. Currently, I'm the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. I just came just to listen to the people. Article 1, Section 1 of our state constitution says all political power of this state is inherent in the people, and the responsibility for the exercise thereof rests with the people. The power does not exist with the governor, lieutenant governor, the four county mayors, the attorney general. The power exists with the voices of the people here sitting here tonight. And me in my capacity, I'm simply just here to listen and to give the manawa ike of what the people have to give tonight. That I'm so proud of people coming out here tonight to speak. And I'm just listening and taking it all in. And thank you. I just want to say thank you to the people for voicing your manawa and giving the power here tonight. But mahalo, thank you.
I gotta take this over this way.
Okay, so now we're going to try something technically interesting so that we can hear our people on Zoom. I believe we have to bring the mic over here closer. Oh, I feel like it cut out a little bit. Are we okay? Okay. Okay, so our next speaker, Suzanne Wakelin. Where do you want me to put it?
Hi, my name is Paul Kuykendall. I'm going to give my comments first. My wife, Suzanne, is right here. We're sharing a computer, so she'll give her comments next. Suzanne and I have a small Ohana, 1 mile Mackay PGB. I want to say that I really appreciate the novel that's been shared by neighbors and by our uncles and aunties tonight. Everything that I've heard feels at base true. There are many impacts of PGB, but in a few minutes, I can only name a few. I'd like to remind everyone that you can send your written comments. You can say more there. My first concern is H2S gas that can kill you at 100 parts per million. In 30 years, there have been more than 70 toxic geothermal releases. That averages one in less than every 6 months. Because the monitoring is so poor, this is a fraction of the actual incidents. A recent one was during Tropical Storm Isel, where more than 100 neighbors were sickened. The first alert was an emergency. The first alert shouldn't be an emergency where neighbors get sick and there's no other notification. The county's multi-hazard emergency response plan doesn't mention the hazard of hurricane or lava causing the release of H2S, heavy metals, or pentane PGV, or a potential pentane explosion. Governor Ige declared an emergency to compel PGV to move 60,000 gallons of pentane that they had stored at the plant when the lava was flowing. By definition, PGB is a multi-hazard emergency that has already happened but is ignored by the county's plan, putting lives at risk. My second major concern is water contamination. PGB drills through freshwater lands that our drinking water wells draw from. If their injection wells are compromised, toxic heavy metals and geothermal steam, anti-corrosive to kill fish, and the pentane PGB uses will contaminate our drinking water and the nearshore ponds and springs, including fish ponds that have been belonged by our Hawaiian friends for more than 13 generations, more than 300 years. Even if the wells stay intact, every geothermal steam release sends toxic heavy metals and caustic soda onto our roofs and our water catchment systems, onto our animals, onto our neighbors. The toxics that land on the ground end up in freshwater lands when it rains. PGB likes to say that the quality of our freshwater lens isn't very good in Lower Puna. That might have something to do with the 1991 PGB well blowout that spewed toxic geothermal steam for a 10-mile radius for 31 hours. The lava flow made a potentially deadly change. There are no trees or plants on the lava-covered areas to mitigate H2S flows. Our homes are 30 to 50 feet lower than the surrounding lava. This creates low areas inhabited by families where H2S would cool, and since it's 20% heavier than air, turning our homes into death traps in concentrations as low as 100 parts per million. I'm also concerned about the area, our agricultural area, being turned into an industrial zone. PGB managed to get their plant zoned as industrial. Did anybody hear about that? Was there a public meeting? No. We don't want them building industrial plants and H2S manufacturing. We don't want more industry down in our agricultural area. We don't want it above our aquifer, and we don't want it above the fish ponds down at Kaitaialaka. Also, I'm concerned about social issues. As everyone said, we have a lot of power plants in Puna, but most of the power is being used in Kohala and Kona by the big resorts. We don't need another power plant in Puna. We use a small fraction of the amount of power that's made in Puna. The reason the power plants are in Puna is because we don't have the money to sue like they do on the other side of the island. The area around PGB, most of the people are off-grid. We don't use PGB. I request that the county, as an accepting agency for the PGEIS, become less accepting of the potentially fatal hazards and impacts on neighbors and our watershed. Mahalo to Ashley Kirkowitz for making this meeting a hybrid meeting so we can testify and still take care of our ohanas. Mahalo to our neighbors for speaking the truth about PGB. Mahalo.
Next is Paul Kukendall. Please.
He just went. Suzanne is next.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Yeah,
Suzanne. Sorry, I was working on tech. Okay, Suzanne Wakeland.
Hello, Paco. I'm here to express my concern about PGB and this whole process. Until the PUC ruled that there should be an environmental review, none of the state and county regulating agencies, DLNR, Hawaii Department of Health, or Hawaii County, or PGB wanted to address changes in the environment prior to starting PGB. We started PGB after the lava flow of 2018. Apparently, none of the permits required reevaluation. And they said that the EIS from 1987 was still valid. As we all know, lava came up from the volcano right there, and PGB plant operations were impinged upon to the extent that they had to drill new wells and install new equipment to get back to the production capacity from before the lava flow. I don't need a PhD in physics to see that both the above ground and underground environments has changed significantly to warrant a detailed geological and hydrological study. It's hard to imagine a Hawaii County Planning Department would be anything other than an easy accepting agency, given the history of the revolving doors for the various characters and their dance with geothermal development. When PGB proposed an amendment to the original 1989 county permit, it included the limits that had been mediated with the community that had suffered through all of the administration. The county simply accepted the defense fund and DOPA. They won't even enforce a county nighttime drilling ban that's on their books. Our objections continue to this day. The history of geothermal development in Hawaii is an absolute disgrace. The truth is, it is insane to be drilling into an active volcano and expect there to be no problems. In fact, there have been many documented accidents. The state and county do not actually protect the community or the environment. There is no realistic monitoring of emissions of H2S, noise, or other contaminants due to the convenient locations of the three sampling stations that are all placed at latitudes equal to or more north than the equipment. There is lack of protection from contamination of the aquifer and surrounding area with anti-corrosives and drilling additives, inadequate emergency response, impacts of injection wells triggering earthquakes, low frequency noise, pentane emissions, and I could go on. Oh, and of course lava flows. Unfortunately, due to the history of geothermal in Hawaii, it's difficult to have much confidence that these issues will be adequately addressed in the EIS process or in any subsequent mitigation or actions by the responsible agencies. Mahalo for all of your comments on this issue. I appreciate you.
Next is Tara Rojas. And can I ask folks, if you're getting up and going outside, if you can keep it down, we want to hear and give everyone a chance to speak. Thanks.
Aloha, Tara. You're good to go.
Okay. So I was listening, you know, to all the testimonies and what said what's been said tonight and for how many years. Just think about one thing that I am always, you know, grateful for is the fresh air that we breathe. You know, there's nothing like coming home and you smell the sweet fresh air. There's nothing like having clean water to drink. There's nothing like the beauty of the natural landscape here in Hawaii. And as you've heard everyone testify, this PGV is eliminating all of that. So I've seen testimonies, as you know, people here have also said, testimonies of them not being able to breathe, having to go out into their patio and smell the chemicals in the air. And I just learned tonight by listening to the testimony about
hey, you guys, could you just keep it down a little? It's real hard to hear. We're trying to record,
PGV
yeah?
Is causing, and the fact that it's so close to the schools, the fact that it's even here, is just plain heaven. Learn tonight about the aquifer. The Kanaka Moli have their rights. And the people of this aina, we need fresh air, clean water, and the aina to be able to live and not only survive, but thrive. So our ole to this PGV. Please do not even take a step further. Do not continue this project. And I'm just going to ask you to leave you with this one question. Would you, knowing after you heard what you heard tonight, would you live in the vicinity of this PGV facility? If not, that should give you your answer, that just stop this EIS, just stop this project, and just please get it out of the islands. Mahalo.
Next, Kiara Lorenzo.
Hello, can you folks hear me?
Yes.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, go.
Thank you. Today I just want to start by stating my intentions. My intentions is to preserve my aina and my culture. I am a Wahine Ma'oli. I am born and raised on the Big Island. And I just want to start, with a little olelo ma'ano. So it goes, eale kahiko o ma kaha, eale e o puna, puna kumu ma kaha, eale e o hilo, na au kele. This is a war cry that the people of Kau'u would say, and they would tell this to arise and awaken all of the people of this area, and I believe that it's very important for you folks to hear and understand and listen to what our culture has to offer. I believe in the science of my people. I believe that they were far more smart than you will ever, ever understand and ever know. And I believe that our future lies within the science of my people. And I believe that PGV is 100% against everything my kupuna stood and stand for. And I, too, am 100% against PGV, and I hope you guys listen to us and you understand that you guys need to take the time to do a pa'akai analysis, understand how you guys are affecting the kai, the fish that I eat, that my ma'opunu was when they eat. You guys need to protect the opihi. You guys need to protect all my amakua that are in these areas. That goes throughout all of the kupai aina. I have to tell you folks that my culture needs to be heard and it needs to be told in our stories. Will not die with us. They will continue forever and for always, and our mo'opuna will have a chance. This is the last generation that these traumas and these hardships will affect. No more, not for our Kiki. So for that and all these reasons and what everybody had to say today, I'm mahalo you all. And I tell you, today, please defer this, end this, get rid of this, because it's the death of me and my people. Mahalo.
Okay, is there anybody who did not put your name down that would like to speak? We have about 15 more minutes, which we could accommodate three more speakers. Is there anyone who did not put your name down who is inspired to speak now? I know a couple of you told me you weren't sure if you were going to want to or not.
If I could.
You spoke already?
No.
Not yet. What's your name, sir?
Brian Lay.
Brian Lay. Do you want to sit or stand?
I'll stand.
Okay, just there's only so much cordage. Be careful.
Hey, Brian Lay, just to clear it up, I was born in Oahu. I've lived in Puna for 18 years. I wasn't going to say anything today, but I've got 22 years of nuclear experience. And when I hear what's going on here, it horrified me. Think if there was release of radiation that was lethal amounts, what would happen? You know, but we seem to be okay with releases here, toxic levels, lethal limits. You know, nobody's died yet. People have gotten sick. And I'm just, like I said, you know, I've got 22 years of nuclear background. You want to piss somebody off, go through radiation therapy and go take a poop in a nuke plant. They got monitors in the sewer system that set off alarms, close the plants down over such a minute amount that's being released in the public, but in a nuke plant, it's not allowed. So, you know, we need to think about that in the EA. You know, we wouldn't tolerate that from a nuclear power plant. Why should we tolerate it from a different kind of plant? So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who didn't have a chance to speak that would care to now? I'm giving the eye to a couple people who were thinking about it earlier. Please. What's your name?
Kalamayubi.
Say it in the mic because I couldn't hear you.
Kalamayubi, that my back is facing you guys. My name is Kalamayubi.
Be careful.
Yeah, you're stepping over. You okay?
Yeah, no, just right. I don't want you to pull it too far.
I would like for the EIS to also include environmental racism. And if you need a reference point, I think starting from 1893, from the illegal overthrow up until this point, and every single entity that tried to come and build that's not Kalamayubi, that's not Kanaka Maoni. And look at every domino effect that had happened here. Because I know here, maybe there's a lot of things that was said here that you don't see how it connects to what your agenda wanted. But everything that happened through environmental racism is what pins Kanaka against Kanaka. And you hold that power. And I know you're paid by the very people to want the agenda be pushed, that everything's safe. But as you can see here, this is not a safe room. These people do not feel safe. And they are exactly the ecological environment to which you are creating your report on. So please include in that EIS, environmental racism.
One more on. I didn't do that all night. I was so good all night until just now. Sorry about that. What's the name of the person who wants to speak?
What's it?
Shannon Rudolph. You can start now, Shannon.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a 40-year Hawaii resident. I went to one of the first demonstrations in Waiokele, and I still haven't changed my mind one bit. In fact, I'm even more opposed. And the main reasons are the chemicals involved during Azelle, when all the trees blew down in the neighborhood, and people were trapped and they all got gassed. My friends who lived nearby the plant didn't feel good, and they ended up going to sleep at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they didn't wake up till 10 o'clock the next day. And they're both early risers. They normally get up at 5:36 in the morning. And when they woke up in the morning, their eyes were crusted, and the male partner didn't feel good. And so they went to the doctor and they sent him home, and he died about 3 days later. So it's very suspicious that he died after getting gassed. So that's a big concern to me and to the surrounding communities when there's leaks or venting or emergency venting or whatever you call it. That's a big concern, because my friend was pretty healthy and I don't think he should have died. So I don't know what to say about that, but it's pretty weird. So anyway, also, what I'm concerned about is you're ignoring the county law that said you were supposed to shut down at 7 o'clock at night. In the surrounding community, the noise of drilling is driving the neighbors nuts. And you guys are bad neighbors, and you're bad stewards. And I wish you would just go away. Solar energy is so much better and cheaper. You guys should just go away and give it up. Thank you.
Okay, on Zoom, Alfred Keaka Hionu. I'm sorry, Hiona Medeiros.
Hello, Mekako. Alfred Kakayona Medeiros. Woo! I hope you guys are listening, PGV. Everybody that's been there, don't want you guys there. Doesn't matter if it's PGV, TMT, IGE, whatever it may be. People know what is wrong when it's wrong. And it's time for people to listen to the real stewards of the land and to the Kanaka Maoli more than ever. You know, for the residents here, I get what you guys are saying. It is a nuisance, but it's just something that we've been dealing with all our lives. This is bringing it back, PTSD, once again, because nobody wants to listen to the people of this land when we say no. Ahole, understand the language of the people. Understand what you guys are doing is wrong. It's causing harm to people. People are already being sick, people are dying, whatever it may be, illness. That's facts enough. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to show you these facts. You learned that as a young kid, do not stand directly in front of a microwave. Same thing. Understand that concept. It's only common sense. And if you guys lack it, then maybe you guys shouldn't be involved in something like this. You know, just listen to the community. Listen to the people of Hawaii. That's all. There's too much, you know, too much things reiterating over and over. And I don't think you guys got to hear too much more, but maybe you guys do need to have nightmares or something. Maybe something needs to happen so you guys can realize that we're telling you guys something, or we've been telling you guys. Try listening this time around. Mahalo. To everybody in Tuna. Love you guys. Mahalo. I'm for calling Kapu and everybody. We the next generation, we gonna stand right there and make sure none of this happens anymore. No matter what moku nui it's on, moko keawe, oahu, maui, kauai, molokai, anywhere, the heva is gonna stop. It's gonna stop now. Aloha. Have a good night.
Time for one more, if anyone's so inspired, if you haven't spoken yet. Time for one more. Anyone else on Zoom or in the room care to share?
I
I think I want to wait and see if there's anyone else who hasn't spoken.
If there isn't anyone else, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll just do one round. Is it? I don't know about you, but we didn't take a break, and I gotta go to the bathroom. Okay, so I want to wrap it up. Uh-oh, where's my last page? My last page. Okay, so we're going to wrap up tonight. I can't find the last page. Hold on. Nope. So here's what's gonna happen now. So Michelle is going to take the recording of all the comments tonight, and she'll do her work on it. And then when she's done with the draft, that will come out, and there will be another public comment period, both oral and written comment. So the notifications will go out the same as they did this time, newspaper. If you're on the email list or you want to get on the email list, it'll get posted on, I think, the PGB website. It'll be in the media. And then that is an opportunity to react to what Michelle and her team have put together. So I really want to thank you all tonight. You did a great job. I appreciate that everyone who wanted to get a chance to speak got to speak. Thank you so much for following the meeting protocol. It's very hot in this room. I need a shower after being in here. So I want to thank you all for coming tonight, and drive safe on your way home. Good night.